Welcome to the Herbal Womb Wisdom Podcast, where we explore the embodied practice of herbalism with the womb at the center for folks who are new to herbs or herbalists in the making. This is a place to become empowered to include herbs and natural therapies in your personal health and, most importantly, to reconnect to the deep wisdom and healing capacity of your own body and the earth. I'm your host, clinical herbalist and integrative health educator, Kaelea Honeybee. Let's dive in. Hi, beautiful friends. Welcome. Welcome back. If you're returning, welcome. Welcome if you're new. Well, this has been quite a week. I don't know if it has been for you, but last week we had the eclipse and all of a sudden spring started here in Maine, like really started. The peepers came out and it warmed up and the sun is out and life feels almost entirely new here. So I don't know how it's feeling for you. I know that for me, the eclipse week really brought forward a lot of emotions and a lot of deeper emotional terrain for me that I am not used to seeing at all. And I feel grateful that I was really able to call on what I like to consider my web of support. So it's something that I actually bring forward with clients and I'm bringing forward in the abortion loss circle that we're doing right now. This concept that we all have a web of support. It may be people in our life. It may be therapists, it may be doctors, it may be childcare, but it also may be a certain tree or a plant or a relationship with the sky or the earth or nature or swimming or doing things that we love or laughter. Like what are the parts of our lives that sustain us? What are the parts of our lives that bring us back into a place of ease, into a place of contentment, into a place of seeing and feeling our self-love and our self-care and our appreciation for this life? Because it's so easy to spiral out. And I know that I'm not alone in having that kind of experience. So I would like to encourage you to consider who or what might be in your web of support in your own life and to really allow yourself to call on those elements when you need them. It is so easy in this world that is always trying to disconnect us and individualize us more and more to feel alone. And we are not meant to do this alone. We are not meant to do this alone. We are meant to do this in community, this whole life thing. In community, with each other, in village, in relation to our environment, in relation to the plants around us, the sky, the earth, in relation to our communities, in relation to the seasons, in relation to all of the pieces of our life. We are not doing this alone. You are not alone. So really feeling into that and exploring what is your web and how can you call on it. That just feels really important to speak into the space right now. Today, I'm going to be talking about a topic that not everybody loves to talk about, poop, specifically constipation. It's been coming up. It's really interesting this past week, although I went through a lot of emotional experience and constipation is not the direction that my body tends towards. It's actually something that can come up for people when they're in more of an emotional or anxious or even like experiencing trauma or experiencing holding in their body. This is something that can totally show up. I actually, two different people, one who is a client of mine right now and one who I did a case on for the David Winston course that I'm in right now, both of them have pretty significant chronic constipation. Dry stools, hard time eliminating, have used lots of laxatives over the years, are not quite sure why it's happening, and both of them have a lot of nervous system stuff going on too. So I'm going to talk about a little bit about like how constipation can show up. How can you even tell if you are constipated? Because for some people, they actually have to poop more than once a day. Like once a day is ideal, but some people to really feel like they've eliminated, they need to poop twice a day. How to know your transit time if that's not something that you already know about. And then a little about, you know, why constipation may be showing up and also how it impacts your body, how it impacts different systems of your body and ways that you might actually see symptoms of chronic constipation in your body, what that might feel like, what you might be able to see on some lab tests, that kind of thing. So I'm going to share about this. I'm not going to share a ton about herbs. There's a lot of herbs that can be supportive for elimination and supporting constipation, it really depends on the kind of constipation that you have. So if you have like a dry, almost cold constipation, if you have like an atonic bowel, meaning that your bowel is actually a little bit boggy, maybe you've had used a lot of laxatives over time, or maybe there's just for some reason that the peristalsis and the movement of your actual intestines is not working as it should be. There's also the potential that actually like your stress response or your anxiety is really getting in the way. It could be gut microbiota. It could actually be the bacteria that are living in your gut that are kind of messing with your actual elimination process, which can happen when you have lots and lots of antibiotics in your life. Like there's all these kinds of things that can show up also. So then there's also just the bogginess. So you get either dry, kind of like not moving. And then for some people, you actually might have moister stools, but they just take forever to move. So there's all different kinds of constipation. We're not going to get into all the different kinds and all the different herbs that can work for that because that's a really big topic. But I will just say there are a lot of herbal pathways. Bitters are sometimes helpful, but they're not always what people need. It really depends on the person. Some people need moistening. Some people do need bitters. Some people need actual like support with the movement. Some people actually need a little more astringency to actually like help to tone those tissues. So it's something, sometimes it's trial and error, finding what can work for you. But do know that if you are somebody who is struggling with chronic constipation, that there's a lot of possibility for you beyond just going to the pharmacy and just getting laxatives, or which is probably what is the most well-known way to work with them. Between body work, between herbs, between food, between movement, there's a lot of possibility to support you. All right. Well, before we dive into this topic even deeper, I want to do the disclaimer that nothing that I share today is medical advice. I am an herbalist. I am an integrative health coach and educator, and everything is just for your own information and education, for your own personal empowerment, for you to feel into what feels true and right for you, because your own womb space and your own body knows best. And if you have any specific conditions or concerns, seek out a practitioner that feels good for you. Okay, so now let's dive into constipation a little bit more. So starting off with, what even does it mean to be constipated? This is something that surprisingly, it's so normalized in the world to just not poop every single day that a lot of people don't even realize that they're constipated. And there is a difference between constipation and slow transit time. A lot of times they are overlapping, but sometimes they're different. Like you could be pooping every single day, but have slow transit time. And so you actually could be, ideally we want to be moving things through our bodies within 12 to 24 hours of when we put them in, then kind of they move through, they're metabolized, and then we have the wastes come out. One of the best ways to see if this is happening for you and to check your transit time is actually to do the beet test. So eat beets, eat like a meal, not just like one beet, like one piece of a beet, but actually a meal that has a lot of beets in it. And then you pay attention and you watch your stool and you see, when do you see that bright red beet color coming out into your stool? Is that 12 hours? Is that 18 hours? Is that 24 hours? Is that 36 hours? Is it 48 hours? Do you not see it for 3 days? So really take note. You're going to be looking every time you poop, just looking to see when you see that bright red beet. Of course, if you have bright red blood, of course, you want to make sure that you're differentially thinking through what is happening here. You always want to pay attention if you have something that might be blood in your stool. But this is beets. You're going to know that you just ate beets. You're going to be able to remind yourself, okay, that's why my stool is red. So look for that, and then you can get a sense of your transit time. And I would encourage you to do that not just once, but you do that once, and then maybe a month or two later, you do it again. And then every so often, do it again. Just, it's like a little checkup on your gut health, especially if you're seeing any symptoms, which we'll talk about in a little bit, that may indicate that you're not eliminating regularly or well. And it could just be one thing where you can check and you can be like, oh, is this happening? Oh, that's not it. There must be something else going on. So if you notice, okay, this is 12 to 24 hours and that's not what's going on, you might have other stuff going on with your elimination and moving waste out of your body that you can work on. But it's a good kind of indicator of what's happening in your bowels. Okay, so transit time aside, constipation is essentially when you are not eliminating through your bowels, pooping, to the extent that your body feels complete elimination. You feel released, you feel relaxed, you feel ease, you feel like there's a relief almost after you poop. You feel like you've completely gotten the entire thing out. And you're kind of awaiting that next moment that you might have the urge, which may be later that day if you're one of the types of people who poops twice a day, or it may be once a day. It really depends on the person. This can sometimes correspond with timing. Ideally, we're pooping in an ideal world from an Ayurvedic perspective and from some of the traditional perspectives, we're pooping like kind of right after we wake up in the morning. But for many people, it can be that you have morning coffee or tea or something bitter and then you go poop, or that you eat your morning meal and then you feel the urge to go poop. What ends up happening typically is there's this mass movement that occurs in your colon. So I'm not going to go into all of the physiology around this, but essentially you've got food that's been digested and things that were indigestible, and then you've got wastes and you've got mucus and you've got bacteria. There's all this stuff going on inside your digestive tract that's getting ready to be eliminated, and it all ends up in your colon. Your colon is first, it's in the small intestine. That's where you're really digesting most of your food. That's where it's breaking down. That's where it's being absorbed. And then in your colon, there's still a tiny bit more that's absorbed, but mostly your colon is all about elimination. And so in the colon, you're going to have this kind of mass of waste product, essentially, turns into your poop. And that mass movement really stimulates the colon to kind of push it out, push it down through into your sigmoid colon and down into your rectum and then out. You get that urge to poop. So there's a lot of things in this process that can go awry, and that's something to look into maybe more individually. But the concept here is just that this is going to happen at least once a day, naturally, typically, and possibly twice a day. And if you're experiencing that you actually feel a certain fullness or a certain sense that you have poop in there that's not coming out, that is when we start to think about constipation. So for some people, they might actually feel constipated if they're only pooping once a day. If they're used to pooping twice a day and they know that there's something in there and they feel that kind of bloating or heaviness or that sensation that something does want to come out but they're not pooping, that can feel like constipation. For other people, it's absolutely fine to be pooping once a day and that's all that's there. That's all that's ready. For some folks, they won't have an urge to poop for days and sometimes a week. And sometimes 10 days. So I have had clients over the years that I've been kind of surprised to find out that they feel that their bowels are regular. A lot of times when you go to the doctor, they'll ask you, oh, do you have regular bowel movements? And so it can be very easy to say, yes, I have regular bowel movements. A lot of times they don't ask, how often are those bowel movements? For some people, they have been pooping every 7 days their entire life, or they have been pooping every 3 days even their entire life. And so, of course, they say, yes, I have regular bowel movements, because regular, kind of meaning consistent, meaning at a regular interval, they're answering honestly and truthfully. But the truth is that they have chronic constipation. That is what we would call chronic constipation, very slow, possibly, probably slow transit time, but definitely chronic constipation. And then, of course, we can have constipation that happens occasionally, right? So there's chronic constipation that would maybe be more like IBS-C, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, the constipation form. Then we can have occasional constipation, constipation that can happen based on something that goes on in your life. For instance, it could be traveling. Like, that's very common that when you travel, your circadian rhythm gets messed up. Maybe you kind of go out of balance in certain ways, and then you feel constipated for a period of time as you're like arriving into the place that you are, changing time zones. All of that can really mess with your digestion and with your GI tract. So That's another time that it can happen. Of course, if certain emotions come up, anxiety, trauma, stress, all of those things, depending on the person, can be a reason that constipation shows up and can be what is causing that, like, kind of occasional constipation. You may tend towards regular bowels, like regular as in daily, maybe twice a day bowel movements. And then there's these certain circumstances that happen and you notice and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that is probably why it's happening for me. So that can be, that's something that can happen, right? You can be have a tendency towards occasional constipation. There can also be an experience sometimes for some folks of going back and forth between constipation and loose stools or diarrhea. So that is another form of irritable bowel syndrome that does happen and is a fairly common manifestation. So that's another way that it can show up. And then we actually have constipation that, because of a history of chronic constipation, people have used laxatives so much and for so long that they're dependent on laxatives. And so that's really laxative dependent constipation, or, you know, laxative dependent movement of stools. And that can actually, because if you are using stimulant laxatives regularly for a long period of time, unfortunately, that can cause your bowel to actually lose tone. So it's called atonicity of the bowel. And that means that you're really, unfortunately, it is kind of long-term, I don't know if it's damage, but imbalance that occurs. There's a way to at least enhance function and enhance movement, but not necessarily completely bring back that regular. You may actually always kind of have to be working on encouraging yourself to poop. And there's a lot of ways to do that. Herbs, foods, movement, body work, self body work. There's something that I learned when I was in massage school is called uncorking the colon. It sounds kind of funny, but it is something that I teach some of my clients when I'm in person with them, is actually to show them how to uncork the colon. There's certain movements you can do on the belly to help move. That's something that I've done a lot in the world of body work and is actually quite supportive and can be done every single day. And then, yes, certain foods, and it depends. Do you have really dry stools? Are they always really dry? Moistening your bowel can be helpful. You may also need to use things like bitters. You may also need to use things that are going to kind of encourage you to move a little bit. But typically, we don't want to rely on stimulant laxatives, even herbal stimulant laxatives. So, you know, a formula like Smooth Move, which you may have seen in the stores. It's a tea that's out there. I don't know if there's more than one kind, but I know that a lot of them have senna in them. It's not that senna is an unsafe herb to use very occasionally, rarely. If you're having that kind of occasional constipation experience, you're like, I just need to poop. It's an option, but relying, using that on a daily basis, relying on a stimulant laxative of any kind, including something like senna, can actually tend towards causing that chronic atonicity, the bowel to lose tone. And other forms of constipation that can happen, hormonal. So absolutely very common, actually, for people to feel constipated in their premenstrual phase, not the entire luteal phase. That may happen for some people. Some people may be just really sensitive in some way to the progesterone or just to the luteal phase for one reason or another. But typically, this is going to be something that may happen, I would say, within the 5 days leading up to when you're bleeding, you may experience constipation. Sometimes that can even happen up through like the day that you bleed, and then you'll probably release. That is something that relates to hormones. That is something that is cyclical, right? And so that can happen for you too. You can be working with different herbs, different foods, different movements during that time to really encourage yourself to be pooping, because you really do want to be pooping, especially at the end of your cycle as you're heading towards bleeding. There are a lot of hormones that are dropping off there. And so those really do need to be excreted out of your body. So it is ideal to be pooping in those days so that you have less of the wastes in your body. I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. What are some of the effects of actually having constipation and how that affects your hormones? One of the things is that you might have more circulating hormones in your body and waste products, so they're even more damaging and challenging for your body to really handle. And so, of course, you're going to have other symptoms that come up from that. Okay, so that's kind of hormonal, cyclical. This can also happen as you head into menopause. We can start to have drier tissues. And so if that's happening for you, if you start to notice you have drier tissues outside, you have drier vaginal tissues, you may also have drier bowel tissues, like drier mucous membranes along your entire GI tract. And so if you're starting to see, especially as you get older and older and older, even into your elder years, that you're starting to tend towards constipation, you may want to be really thinking about how can you moisten? How can you support the daily elimination? Because it's still going to be important for you to do that. And another time that we can totally have constipation, well, there's a couple of different things. Sometimes it can happen during pregnancy. Sometimes that's because there is that huge baby that is in your pelvis and that is maybe messing with or blocking, you know, all the structures in there still have to work, right? So you've got this very large baby and placenta and womb that's growing and growing and growing. And then things can kind of get pushed around so that it's harder to poop. And so there are a lot of ways actually to support yourself to encourage regular elimination, especially towards the end of pregnancy when you might be noticing yourself feeling more constipated. That is absolutely something to look at. And then another time might be postpartum. And there's a few different pieces to this, but especially immediate postpartum, it can be very scary to poop because you just pushed a baby out, or maybe you had a cesarean, but something has gone on in your pelvic area, and especially and post-surgery, of course, this is true for a lot of people as well, but it can feel very vulnerable because especially if you had tears, if you feel tender tissues, if you're feeling swelling, it can be very, very vulnerable. Something that I have heard that can be incredibly supportive for this, if it's coming from a place of just kind of being afraid to poop, to actually push, then something that I've heard that can be really helpful is actually to put a piece of gauze, a nice piece of gauze. It could have herbs on it if you want to have a nice herbal kind of tea, and then put some gauze, and you hold that gauze on, like up on your perineum, on your entire vulva, up towards your urethra and over your vagina, and you hold up there as you're pooping so that you're really supporting those tissues to not go anywhere. You're holding yourself and you can really just focus on the pooping action. So that is totally normal to feel in that immediate postpartum time, but that's totally another time that this can happen. You can also, of course, be encouraging your stool, be encouraging your elimination. In addition to just holding your perineum, you actually can be, and your vulva, you actually can be supporting yourself with some of the herbal support, with some of the foods, with some of the softening, with some of the moistening, in order to just ease that process a little bit better too. So all of this to say, I probably haven't shared about all the different kinds of constipation that are out there, but these are some of the ways that constipation can show up and does show up, especially for those of us with wombs, especially cyclically, especially throughout our womb phases in our lives. This is something that happens. And in our teen years too, I guess I'll speak to this too. In our teen years, it can actually be quite common to be constipated as well. And when we're in our kind of puberty, post-menarche puberty years, and in those early teen years, we have so many hormones that are flying around our body that it's really important to be eliminating, really important to be focusing on this. And so because a lot of kids in their teens or, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old don't tend towards eating incredibly healthy, very whole foods, very balanced, lots of vegetables and fiber types of diets, that is something to consider, is how can we encourage and support them to be eating at least enough fiber? What does that look like for them? What is something that they would eat in order? Because a lot of times they don't even need the herbs. I mean, yes, herbs can be helpful or different practices can be helpful, but a lot of times their bodies are doing pretty okay. And really what they need is just to make sure that they've got enough fiber and they've got enough moisture and that they're able to like just support themselves to be pooping regularly. Ideally, we don't want to get teenagers hooked on stimulant laxatives. If we can help it to prevent that, to not have that ever even be a thing for them, is ideal, because we don't want to be starting to encourage that atonicity or that lack of tone in the bowel at an early age, because it can really be lasting. Okay, so wow, I have just talked a lot about constipation. Maybe you've heard yourself in this in some way. I feel like each of us have experienced constipation at some point in our lives, and some of us more than others. And for some folks, it is a chronic challenge that they have experienced since they were a child. So if that's you, there is so much that you can do, even if you're somebody who has been hooked on the stimulant laxatives, even if your bowel tone has decreased over time, there are still ways to support yourself. Okay, so what does it do to your body to not be eliminating regularly? If you've got wastes that are hanging out in your colon for long periods of time, I mean, there's a lot of things that happen. First of all, you may feel bloating, right? You may feel gas, you may feel bloating. You may have a sense of heaviness. You may have just a sense of discomfort in your gut. You probably feel it in your belly in one way or another. You may have just gotten used to that. That's something that people get completely used to. And it's something to take note of. Sometimes it feels like there's hardness. Sometimes it feels like it's just like a lot in there. Another thing that happens is not only do you have these kind of physical symptoms, and you may even notice things going back up. You may notice burping. You may notice different kind of heartburn. Sometimes that can happen if your bowels are not moving in that correct downward direction. But that's not always why that stuff happens. But it can sometimes happen. Some other things that can happen that aren't so obviously symptom related are that when you're not eliminating, your body is actually, unfortunately, will start to take up some of the wastes that it's already excreted, right? It's excreted those from the liver, from the gallbladder, into the small intestine. It's intentionally been encouraging that to leave the body. When those wastes stay in the body, some of them actually will be reabsorbed. A lot of times things like hormones, not all of them, but some estrogens and other hormones will be reabsorbed into the body. Sometimes unhealthy cholesterol, unhealthy lipids, essentially, may end up back in the body. So these are things that we can actually see and look for. This is more on lab tests that you might see these things. But it can be one of the things is, oh, you actually have, if you have chronic constipation and you have, let's say, high cholesterol, especially the LDL, the non-desirable, like in quotes, the bad cholesterol, and you've got high levels of that, maybe even triglycerides potentially, but unhealthy lipids in your body, and you've got chronic constipation, there may be something going on between those two. If you start moving your bowels more, it is possible that that will reduce. I don't think it's going to completely take it away, but it's probably going to reduce some of your cholesterol levels. So making sure that you're pooping regularly actually has impact on your cholesterol levels. Another thing is your hormones, right? So if you're thinking about when people experience high estrogen, some people will talk about estrogen dominance. This is something that will happen for a lot of reasons. A lot of times it happens because of environmental estrogens, which are also called xenoestrogens. They're basically, and xenobiotics, they're essentially things that are in our environment, plastics, pesticides, all kinds of preservatives that we're exposed to, various other things that our bodies will take in, and then they will bind to estrogen receptors in a very strong way, even stronger than our endogenous or internal in our body estrogens. That is something, right? Of course, our body wants to excrete those at times. And when we're trying to excrete them, we're still taking some in and we're not pooping. If we're constipated, those are absolutely potentially going to come back inside and be wreaking more havoc in the body. So just increasing and increasing. But also just our endogenous, the ones that are made in our bodies by our ovaries, some of them are also made in the adrenals, but the estrogens that are created, if they are not excreted naturally, normally on the daily bowel movement, some of those will be reuptaken into the body. I have an episode from last year that I will link in the show notes, and it's talking about the gut and hormone connection. And I talk a lot about the estrobilome, which is like an actual microbiome in our GI tract that relates to both estrogen metabolism and estrogen elimination. And it's really interesting, but it's totally related to if you're constipated, you are potentially going to have increased levels of estrogen in your body. So you can go back to that. I will link it in the show notes. So it's really important when, if you do notice some of the symptoms of, in quotes, estrogen dominance, let's say you have cyclically sore breasts or chest, that's one of the ways that you might see that. You might see that from potentially depending, but sometimes you'll grow a even thicker uterine lining during your menstrual phase, right? As you're cycling, just in your normal cycle, you'll just grow a thicker uterine lining. And so you'll actually have increased bleeding during your period. So if you are bleeding and you have a really heavy flow, sometimes that is a sign of estrogen dominance. Sometimes things like fibroids can be created because of excess estrogen. Sometimes there may be a correlation between things like endometriosis and estrogen dominance. There's a lot of different possibilities here. It's not always one thing or the other. It's really not. There's a lot of different origin points for these things. However, increased levels of estrogen in the body are essentially just not something that we ideally want. They're an imbalance. And so making sure that we are excreting what we don't need every single day is ideal to encourage more healthy hormonal levels. And of course, that's going to go for other hormones too. Other hormones in our body are going to be impacted. If we're not pooping out regularly, we're going to have a mess going on inside the body. Also, waste products. So there's so much to detoxification and actually getting wastes out of the body in a really healthy way. There's like multiple phases of detoxification, and then there's the elimination part. If we're not eliminating some of these more toxic wastes, things, you know, we've got a lot of stuff that we're processing in this modern world. We are exposed to so much. And so if we're not able to process those, it is possible for those wastes to just hang out in our bloodstream, in our system, and not have anywhere to go. So what's going to happen if you're not eliminating regularly? What starts to happen is you start to see other excretory organs in your body trying to essentially make up for what you're not eliminating through your poop. One place that we see this a lot, from an herbal lens, we talk about this, but it's also more of a traditional understanding. One place we really see that is on your skin. Your skin is the biggest excretory organ, elimination organ that you have. And so that is absolutely a place that you may see stuff coming up. If you are chronically constipated and you've got things, I've seen it a lot, things like eczema, things like psoriasis, things like acne, things like rashes, things like just weird growths that are coming out, or just a certain amount of scent or different kinds of excretion through your skin, whatever that looks like, can actually have a relationship with being chronically constipated. There can be this sense, and it's especially, I see things more so, I see eczema, I see some psoriasis, and I definitely see, which is just stressful on the body, right? Like, it's stressful on the body to have excess wastes floating around and not being able to get out. And acne is where it really is just kind of trying to get out of the body, in my mind. So when we work on our constipation, when we work on our elimination, we can often have an impact on skin health. So I think that is really important to consider. It is something that many people already know, and some people are totally surprised by, that there is a relationship, and it's a direct relationship. Another area that we may see impact from constipation is in our brain, is in our mental health, and is in our cognitive function, and in our sense of anxiety, depression, these kinds of things. Like, our gut-brain connection is so profound. It's something that's an entire topic of, it could be an entire topic of an entire course. But just to say that what is going on in our gut has a direct relationship to how our brain is functioning, how we are perceiving the world, how we, and this is both from an energetic place of, oh, okay, yeah, I'm so full of my literal shit that I can't actually see or feel the world outside of me. Okay, that's one way to look at it. But actually, when you look at the like scientific piece of it, that our gut has so many nerve endings. It is a huge part of our nervous system, actually, and where we're taking in information from to be able to know, are we safe? Is this, are we feeling good? Are we feeling bad? This is a direct relationship. And so it's very common, if you have chronic constipation or constipation at all, it's very common to feel brain fog. It's very common to feel like you're just not able to focus as well. It's very common to have the experience of depression, especially like melancholic depression. There's certain gut-based depression that might be happening. It's also just to feel the heaviness of the world and to feel that and to sense that and to not feel like uplifted and light. It makes sense, right? And that's even from a mental health state. And then also you may actually feel a certain increased stress response because your body is actually maybe a little stressed by the amount of wastes that are coming back in, the amount of hormones, all the stuff that's going on, that can impact some of your response to the world around you. You may actually feel more stress or more tension or more challenge in the world. And then anxiety, right? So it's very common. It's actually very common both bidirectionally for anxiety or kind of the fear state. It could be the fight or flight response, but certainly just like chronic anxiety, general anxiety, can both cause constipation, and constipation can be correlated with anxiety. And so it's very common. And part of that, if you think about it, I actually have a client right now has been talking about how she feels like she's always kind of held tension in her belly, and how in her own inner sense, this is not me telling her, because actually some of what I do with coaching is really trying to encourage people to like feel into and know what is the deeper piece for them. Because I don't know everything. I never know somebody's body as well as they know it. And she's had chronic constipation since she was a child. So one of the pieces around this is that she feels that she's always kind of held chronic tension, and she's just, it's generational. It's her lineage. She was saying that her aunt, this is the same thing. Her grandmother was the same thing. They had chronic anxiety and they had chronic constipation. It's a really interesting area of focus to consider, is that this could even be generationally passed down. These certain behaviors can be generationally passed down, might relate to the actual tissue in the body, the actual physical tissue in the body, but it also might relate to behaviors being passed down that may be able to be changed over time. So just to review, what I've shared so far around how constipation might be affecting your systems of your body are that your hormonal levels and wastes in your body might be increased because you're not releasing every day. Your skin may be impacted. You might see things like acne or eczema or psoriasis, even possibly rosacea, different kind of redness or different expressions of your skin may be coming out in response to the constipation. You may have higher cholesterol levels or unhealthy lipid levels, unhealthy cholesterol levels because of the constipation. You may experience different challenges with your nervous system, with your cognitive function, with your ability to focus, with your anxiety, with depression, with stress, all of these things. There's these loops that happen. All of this to say that there are a lot of different ways that constipation can show up, a lot of different reasons that it shows up, and then a lot of different impacts it actually has on multiple systems of your body, and probably even more systems than I'm mentioning here. Honestly, I'm doing this episode without an outline again, because I thought the topic was something that I could just cover just thinking through it and sharing out loud. And it seems like I've done a decent job with that, but I may have missed a system or two. I may have missed some areas that are really important around how constipation shows up or how it affects the body. Now, how do you work with this? And I've mentioned that there are different kinds of constipation and I can't get into all of it, but I do want to just give you a few resources to move forward. I mentioned the uncorking the colon activity. That's something that if you live locally, if you're someone who struggles with chronic constipation, get in touch with me. We can have a session. I can show you that. But if you're somebody who's further away, I can still potentially show you online, although it's much better when I can actually touch your body and show you where to touch. It's just much easier for me to show that. So uncorking the colon, certain abdominal massage in general, my abdominal massage would help. Any kind of abdominal massage probably would be supportive as long as it's going clockwise around your belly button. And then, of course, if you thinking through, do you have dry constipation? If you have dry stools and it feels very dry and stuck, you probably want to look at moistening. Moistening, of course, you can look at demulcents. If you're looking at herbs, you can look at demulcents. You can also add things like chia seeds. Now, when you're looking at chia, you definitely want to add enough moisture, enough fluid in order for the chia to expand. Otherwise, if you just eat chia, if you just were to grind up chia and just eat it as like a cracker or just sprinkle it onto your food, what that's going to do, unfortunately, is probably dry out your mucous membranes even more. This is something that I have found that not everybody knows. So what they do, because they are, I think it's called hydrophilic, they absorb water, they absorb fluid. And so that's why people make things like chia pudding. Chia pudding is a lovely way to add chia into your diet because it's something that tastes good and it's enjoyable. And that already it's in coconut milk typically, or some other kind of cashew milk or coconut milk. And what that's doing is actually it's allowing the chia to absorb that fluid, and then it's moist. And then when you take that into your body, that can actually be supportive for your mucous membrane lining and actually moisten. But if you're doing the dry chia, if you're just grinding it up and putting it on things, same thing with flax, by the way, if you're just grinding it up and putting it in, what that has the potential to do is actually take the fluid from your GI tract, the mucous membranes of your GI tract, and actually dry them out more. So it's really important to work with chia in an intentional way that is effective and ideally support you. And of course, demulcent herbs, mucilaginous herbs are really lovely. You can do things like marshmallow. Slippery elm is really, really good, but it's also at risk. So I would encourage you to kind of move towards marshmallow more so. Any kind of demulcent, you know, even things like licorice can be helpful, and various, even Solomon's seal is good too. And then you can also, of course, think about different bitters, right? So it, depending on your body, whether or not bitters will help you, for some people, that bitter will stimulate the digestive function of your body, and it may even encourage a mass movement to happen, one of the mass movements in your colon to happen. So for some people, that can be helpful. For some people, bitters can actually be very drying and actually be a challenge for them. So it really depends on the person whether or not this is helpful. Sometimes you have to create a bitter formula that has like bitters, but also has mucilaginous herbs that are moistening and also has some warming. It just depends on the person, what really works for them. And you can use if you're needing some kind of stimulation, herbs that can be helpful for some kind of stimulation, and the only ones that I would really recommend, because the stimulant laxatives are something I think you should just stay away from if possible, but some that I would really recommend are aperients. So aperients, A-P-E-R-I-E-N-T, are essentially very mild laxatives. And a couple of examples of those are dandelion root. Dandelion root is one. It's very, very mild, but it is something that may be helpful in that way. And another one is yellow dock root. So in pregnancy, what I love about in pregnancy, both of those are totally safe when you're pregnant. And so this is something that if you're experiencing that kind of constipation while you're pregnant, or even when you're not pregnant, you can actually do yellow dock dandelion decoction. It doesn't taste very good at all. It doesn't taste good at all. So sweetening it in some way is nice. There's the yellow dock syrup that people sometimes use when they have anemia, especially iron deficiency anemia in pregnancy. That can be used outside of pregnancy too. That actually is also a mild, it's an aperient formula. So it's a mild laxative formula. So it can help with both things, helping eliminate and also helping to increase your iron absorption and support those levels and blood building. So I think that that is what I will share for today. There's other ways, of course, to work with your body. There's so many more herbs that you could consider depending on what you have going on. And of course, fiber, right? I mentioned that before when I was talking about the teenagers. Fiber is important. Making sure that you are eating not just, I think the ketogenic diet is okay. Some people really going into the primal food diets are not eating enough fiber. They're really focusing on fats and they're really focusing on protein. And when you're only eating fats and protein and you're not eating any carbs or whole foods in certain ways, you're not eating vegetables, you're not focusing on all of the vegetables, you may not be getting enough fiber. I think that soluble fiber is also important. I think, or insoluble fiber and soluble fiber are both important. So really thinking about all the ways, are you eating things like grains? Are you eating things like oats? Oats are really lovely. They're both moistening to the digestive tract and they have fiber. They're really cholesterol, right? They're like heart healthy, people say. And that's because they can reduce cholesterol. How are they reducing cholesterol? They're helping you to poop. That's part of it, right? That's a big part of it. So really thinking about how are you getting the foods that you need in order to be pooping regularly, making sure that you're not erring on the side of too little fiber. We need a lot of fiber to move our bowels. So yeah, I think, and hydration, gosh, I didn't even mention that, but hydration is huge. A lot of people are walking around chronically dehydrated, and actually just making sure that you have enough water or fluids in your body, especially not just peeing them out, like making sure water with electrolytes for some people is really helpful to keep the fluid in your body. That can be really helpful as well for constipation. So yeah, I think that that's a good initial primer for you to kind of get started with. And maybe in the future, I'll do a class where I really go over a whole lot of herbs and different ways that you can work with them. But for now, I think I'll end here. If you'd like the show notes from this episode, I will totally make sure to link a few different episodes that I think are super relevant here. I think the episode on dandelion would be great. I think the episode on the gut hormone connection and the estrobilome is a really good one. I'll probably also link the one on the impact of stress on your hormones because that is also very relevant here. All of it intertwines. So you can find those show notes at herbalwomb.com/episode117, herbalwomb.com/episode117. And if you loved this episode, if you found anything particularly interesting, or you know somebody who would benefit from hearing about constipation, what it is, how it impacts their body, what things might be at the root of some of their symptoms, it might be constipation, and you can think of someone this might be helpful for, share it with them. You can share it with them in a DM or a text message, or you can share it publicly on social media. And if you do share publicly on social media, tag me at Herbal Womb Wisdom. You can always DM me if you want to tell me about how this has been impactful for you. I know for some people, you might not want to be like sharing an episode on constipation publicly on your social media, or maybe you do, because maybe you're a bold person like me who talks about poop and talks about vaginas and talks about the vulva publicly to hundreds and thousands of people, because that's me. So any way that you share, I appreciate it. Oh, it's really helpful. And I also always love to know and to hear what is really resonating for you, what is helpful for you. And yeah, I think that's all for today. I hope that you're enjoying this springtime if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, or enjoying the fall time that's probably really setting in if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. And yeah, just get out there, get in the sun. Let's connect with some plants. Let's connect with each other. Let's remember our web of support. When we go into places that are imbalanced, that's when we need our web of support most, and that's when we're most likely to isolate. So really remembering, what is that web of support that feels comfortable for you? I'll just end with that, since that's where we started. All right, beautiful friends, until next week, live well, connect deeply, and have a beautiful day.